This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما. Today inshallah we will look into the story of, rather the gift and the miracle of al-Isra wal-Mi'raj that was given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In our previous lesson, we learned about the Prophet ﷺ's journey to Al-Ta'if. And remember that it was in the year of sorrow, in which there was huzn after huzn, grief after grief. The first grief being the loss of Abu Talib, and then the loss of Khadija radiallahu anha, and then the Prophet ﷺ's attempt to find refuge in Al-Ta'if, but he was harshly refused. In fact, he was physically abused. And that was something that was very difficult upon the Prophet ﷺ. But still he chose to forgive the people who harmed him in hopes that perhaps in the future their children will be believers. And it so happened that many years later, the Prophet ﷺ conquered Al-Ta'if after the conquest of Makkah, and many people embraced Islam. And it was from their children that the famous Muhammad ibn Qasim al-Thaqafi came about. He was from the tribe of Thaqif. They were from Al-Ta'if. And Muhammad ibn Qasim is the one who conquered the Indo-Pak subcontinent. He's the one who brought Islam to Sindh. So all the Muslims who are from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, that area, they owe it to Muhammad ibn Qasim. All of us do. Because, and if you think about it, it was in fact the Prophet ﷺ's forgiveness. Right? Because if he hadn't forgiven the people of Al-Ta'if, what would have happened? They would have been finished. The angel of the mountains would have destroyed them, finished them. But the Prophet ﷺ, he decided to forgive those people. And immediately he received no benefit from those people. But eventually what happened? Islam, it spread from there also. Right? So anyway, after this great difficulty, what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought comfort to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ta'if, it marks the height of difficulty, right? In the Meccan era. The height of difficulty. Because up until now, yes, there was a lot of persecution, a lot of hardship, a lot of pain. But with the loss of Abu Talib, with the loss of Khadija radiallahu anha, now the rejection from Al-Ta'if was extremely difficult. But remember that after the peak of difficulty, there is most certainly relief. So what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the journey of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. Al-Isra, what does Isra mean? Isra literally means a night journey, meaning to travel by night. And this refers to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's journey in the nighttime from Makkah to Jerusalem. And this is what is mentioned in Surah Al-Isra in the first ayah. سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. That سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي, glorified is the one who, perfect is the one who took his servant by night. Meaning in the night time, he made his servant travel from where? From the sacred mosque, meaning from Makkah, all the way to Masjid al-Aqsa, which is in Jerusalem. And this entire area, Allah says, الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ, its surroundings have been blessed. Why was he taken on this night journey? لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا. So that the Prophet ﷺ is shown some of the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. So we see that in this part of the journey, the Prophet ﷺ was first of all taken from Makkah to Jerusalem. And what was the purpose of this journey? لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا. So that he is shown some of the ayat, some of the great signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is Isra. Then Mi'raj. What does Mi'raj mean? Mi'raj is from Uruj, Araja. And what does Araja mean? To ascend, to go high. And Mi'raj literally is a means of ascension, means of going up, right? Rising up. So Mi'raj refers to the journey upwards. Upwards where? Physically, meaning from Jerusalem, the Prophet ﷺ was taken up. Up, what is above us? The sky that we see. But the Prophet ﷺ was taken not just there, but beyond that, above the seven heavens. He was taken above the seven samawat. So this refers to Mi'raj. And remember that this was a physical journey in which he was taken up, but it wasn't just physical in the sense that he went up and back. It also proved to be spiritually and emotionally uplifting. Because you see, Ta'if really saddened the Prophet ﷺ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spiritually, emotionally uplifted him with this journey as well. And this journey is referred to in Surah An-Najm, right at the beginning of the surah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَى عِنْدَ سِدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَى عِنْدَهَا جَنَّةُ الْمَأْوَى إِذْ يَغْشَى السِّدْرَةَ مَا يَغْشَى مَا زَاغَ الْبَصَرُ وَمَا طَغَى لَقَدْ رَآ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِ الْكُبْرَى. Over there also he saw some of the greatest signs of his Lord. So we see that the journey of Mi'raj, where was it from? From Jerusalem up to the skies, right? Up into the skies, into the samawat. And secondly, we see that in this journey also, the Prophet ﷺ was shown many ayat. Alright? So we see Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, it's basically two parts. Isra refers to from Mecca to Jerusalem, and Mi'raj refers to from Jerusalem up into the Samawat. And in both of these parts, what happened? The Prophet ﷺ was shown ayat. Alright? He was shown ayat. Now remember that before we continue this journey, it was not a dream. Alright? It was not a dream. Rather, it was a reality. It occurred in body and soul. Because in these ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Abd. Allah took his servant. He took his servant. And that means that he was taken, not just in his dream, but physically he was taken. It was a physical reality. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was shown, you could say, parts of ghaib. Right? Like for example, seeing the Buraq, seeing the angel Jibreel, going up into the Samawat and crossing the doors and meeting the prophets and speaking to the prophets. This is all parts of ghaib. Alright? And when it comes to ghaib, remember that the laws of physics do not apply over there. Alright? Because many times when we try to understand the journey of Isra wal Mi'raj, we wonder, how is it possible that the Prophet ﷺ went from Mecca to Jerusalem and back in one night? How? I mean, it takes years and years, to go in outer space. But if the Prophet ﷺ is crossing this even and back in one night, how is it possible? Remember that he was taken into a different realm. A realm of al-ghayb that is hidden from us. So the laws of physics do not apply over there. So whenever you come across any incident about Al-Isra, Al-Mi'raj, don't try to think of it in worldly terms or in terms that we are acquainted with. Alright? It was a journey beyond this world. So when it was a journey beyond this world, then it means that the matters of this world are irrelevant over there. Of physics, of time, of space, they don't apply there. Alright? Now, we learn from different ahadiths. You know, ahadith that are very authentic, that are reported in Bukhari, in Muslim. We learn that the Prophet ﷺ, he himself described the journey of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj in his own words. Alright? In one hadith, for example, which is in Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ said that the roof of my house was made open. So imagine, he's in his house at night, and what happens? The roof opens up. And he says, Jibreel descended. Jibreel descended. From other reports, we learned the Prophet ﷺ was taken from his house to the Kaaba. Alright? And Jibreel told him to pray 2 rak'ah salah over there. The Prophet ﷺ, he performed 2 rak'ah. And then what happened? Jibreel opened up my chest. Remember that the Prophet ﷺ's chest was opened once before? When? When he was very young, when he was about 4 years of age. Right? Now it was opened up again. And Jibreel washed it with the water of Zamzam. And then he brought the golden tray full of wisdom and belief. Meaning there was a container that had iman, that had hikmah in it. Now you might wonder, iman in a physical form, hikmah in a physical form. Now remember again, this is all part of ghaib. And when it comes to ghaib, we're not thinking of it in worldly terms. Right? And he poured it in my chest and then he closed it. Now, why is it that the heart of the Prophet ﷺ was washed over here? It was filled with iman. It was filled with hikmah. Remember that when the Prophet ﷺ's chest was opened, his heart was washed before, what was removed from it? The portion of shaitan. It was purified. Now remember that sometimes you wash something in order to clean it. But when something is, clean from before, but still, why do you wash it or further clean it? Why? For the purpose of adornment. Right? So this time when the Prophet ﷺ's heart is washed and filled with iman and hikmah, why was it so? It was prepared, it was purified, it was strengthened, it was fortified for the journey of Isra wal Mi'raj. Because you see, any person, if he is made to see Buraq, for example, and Buraq travels at such a great speed, any average human being would collapse, right? Just the sight of Buraq, or just going up and seeing amazing, ayat, that would make any average person collapse out of fear, out of shock. But the heart of the Prophet ﷺ was strengthened. It was fortified for this journey. And not just for this journey, but also for the rest of his life. He was as if being prepared for the future, for what he was going to witness. Now what happened? In a hadith in Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ says, I was brought al-Buraq. So when he's in Makkah, what happened? He performed two rakah, his heart is washed, his heart is filled with iman, with hikmah, and then the Buraq was brought to him. He said, Buraq is an animal. It's a dabba, it's a creature. Alright? White, so what color is the Buraq? White and long. Larger than a donkey, but smaller than a mule. So what does it mean? It looks something like a horse or something like a donkey, mule, right? An animal of that category. But different in size, white in color. Now the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith, does he say that it had wings? No. So the people who say the Prophet went on a winged horse and they mock at this, right? This is something that has no basis. The Buraq is not described as a winged horse. It's not even described as a horse. It's described as a creature, an animal. An animal the likes of which do not exist right now, or the likes of which do not exist on this earth. We have not seen anything like the Buraq. Right? And this Buraq, the Prophet ﷺ said, it would place his hoof a distance equal to the range of vision. What does it mean? Just think of it like this. Imagine you're standing outside in a park. You open your eyes. How far can you see? How far does your vision go? It can go really far. Now imagine, the speed of Buraq is the speed of vision. You understand? It's the speed of vision. As quickly as your eyes can see something that is really far away, that is the speed at which Buraq moved. This is the speed of Buraq. Alright? In the Quran, Allah says, وَيَخْلُقُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah creates that which you do not know. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّهُ. Allah knows what all He has created. We just know a little bit of the creation and we think that we know a lot. The Prophet ﷺ said, I mounted it and I was taken to the temple. Which temple? In Baytul Maqdis. And then I tethered it to the ring used by the prophets. So when the Prophet ﷺ reached Jerusalem, what happened? He tethered the Buraq. He tied it. Right? In another hadith, which is in the Tirmidhi, we learned the Prophet ﷺ said, when we reached Baytul Maqdis, Jibreel pointed with his finger, causing a crack in a rock. And then he tied al-buraq to it. So, whoever did it, Jibreel did it, the Prophet ﷺ did it, both of them were together, all right, and they tied the buraq. The Prophet ﷺ said, I entered the Baytul Maqdis, and I prayed 2 rak'at in it. And then came out, and Jibreel brought me a vessel of wine and a vessel of milk. And I chose the milk. And Jibreel said, you have chosen the natural thing. In a different hadith, which is in a Tirmidhi, if you had taken the wine, your ummah would have strayed. And then he took me to heaven, to the sky. So what do we see? When the Prophet ﷺ reached Baytul Maqdis, what happened? He performed salah over there also. Right? And we learn in different versions, in different ahadiths, that the Prophet ﷺ, when he reached there, he found the prophets praying also. He saw the prophets of Allah over there, and they were also performing the prayer. And he said that when the time of prayer came, I led them. Meaning he led them in prayer. And when I completed the prayer, someone said, here is Malik, the keeper of hell. Say salam to him. So I turned to him, but he preceded me in salam. So what do we see in Jerusalem? What happened? The Prophet ﷺ prayed salah himself. And then he also led the rest of the prophets in prayer. All right. And then we see the different angels came over there in order to greet him. What does this symbolize? It symbolizes the Prophet ﷺ's leadership of all mankind. He is the leader of all mankind. Like in a hadith, we learned that أنا سيد ولد آدم ولا فخر. I will be the leader of the children of Adam, and there is no pride in this. Meaning, I'm not boasting about this. But this is the fact, this is the reality, that the Prophet ﷺ is the leader of all mankind. And this shows that if the Prophet ﷺ led all the prophets in prayer, then what about the people of those prophets? Who are they supposed to follow now? Who are they supposed to follow now? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So those who believe in Isa alayhi salam, or those who claim to be the followers of Musa alayhi salam, or the followers of Yahya alayhi salam, whoever they may be, if they wish to be rightly guided, who is it that they must follow now? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he is the imam of the mursaleen. He was the imam, the leader of all the prophets. And if he's the leader of all the prophets, then he's also the leader of all of mankind. Now, one more thing we see over here. The Prophet ﷺ, when he was taken to Baytul Maqdis, what did he do there? He prayed salah. The other prophets also, who were made to attend at the masjid at that time, what did they do over there? They prayed salah. Where? Masjidul Aqsa. If you think about it, if the prophets are brought to the Baytul Maqdis, could they not have been brought to Masjid al-Haram? Of course, right? The fact that the Prophet ﷺ is taken to Baytul Maqdis, what does it show? That praying in Baytul Maqdis is something that we should also strive to do. Right? It is, after all, one of the sacred places, one of the holiest of lands. If the Messenger of Allah ﷺ was taken there to perform salah, then what about us? Should we not strive to go and perform salah over there? Now, before we continue, you might wonder, how did all the prophets come? How did they come? Now remember again, this is al-ghayb. And we learn from ahadith that the prophets of Allah, when they die, it's not that their souls come to an end. In fact, even average people, when they die, the souls are not put to sleep, right? They're either in a state of reward, they are receiving reward, or they are being punished. When a person goes away from this life, where is he? In the barzakh, right? It's another world where the souls remain until the day of judgment. And on the day of judgment, what will happen? The body and the soul will be united, right? And in hadith, we learn that the prophets of Allah, they pray to Allah after their death. So they continue to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even after they have gone from this world. Alright? So for the prophets of Allah to be brought to Baytul Maqdis, This is not amazing because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He can do anything. And it's amazing because if you look at the first ayah of Surah Al-Isra, Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi. What does it mean by Subhana alladhi? Subhan. That He is perfect. He is above any weakness, any deficiency, any resemblance to the creation. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The prime difference, the main difference between us and Allah is that He is Khaliq and we are makhluq. Right? He is the creator and we are the creation. And if we just understand this difference, it wouldn't be difficult for us to understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do. That He can execute His will. فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدْ. He can do whatever He wants. So for Him to bring about all the prophets in one place, their souls or body together, Allahu A'lam, however, it's up to Him. He can do whatever He wants. Alright? So anyway, the Prophet ﷺ was brought to Baytul Maqdis to perform salah. Now just one clarification. At the time when the Prophet ﷺ was taken there, remember there was no Dome of the Rock. Alright? Because when we think of Masjid al-Aqsa, right? We think of Dome of the Rock. You know, the masjid with the golden dome, right? That was constructed years and years and years after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alright? Remember that Baytul Maqdis, Masjid al-Aqsa, it refers to the sacred site. Alright? The sacred site, meaning the entire area which is haram. Just as the Kaaba, alright? The Kaaba is just one building. Alright? But the area around it, what is it? The haram, the entire area is sacred, correct? Which is why when you enter it, then certain rules apply there. No fighting, no killing, all right? Everyone's life is sacred. Even the trees are sacred, animals are sacred, I mean, in the sense that you cannot hurt them, correct? So it's haram. Likewise, Masjid al-Aqsa refers to the entire haram, all right? Which is known as the Temple Mount. Alright, the Temple Mount, which is a sacred site in Jerusalem. And if you look at the images of this place, for example, you know, there is the Dome of the Rock in almost in the middle of it. And on one side of it, there is Al-Aqsa Mosque. This Aqsa Mosque was also built many years after the Prophet ﷺ. Alright? And at the time when the Prophet ﷺ was made to visit Masjid Al-Aqsa, at that time there was no masjid there. Alright? There was no masjid there. The very site was sacred. And the Prophet ﷺ was taken there in order to perform salah. So you understand? When you think of Masjid al-Aqsa, don't think of Dome of the Rock or Masjid al-Aqsa as it is today. It's the sacred site where he was taken. The Prophet ﷺ said, on the night of my ascent to the heaven, meaning of the Isra Mi'raj, I saw Musa a.s. who was a tall, brown, curly-haired man, as if he was one of the men of Shanu'a tribe. And I saw Isa alayhi salam, who was a man of medium height and moderate complexion, inclined to the red and white colors, meaning he was a man who looked like, you can say, of Caucasian type, white. And he also had lank hair, thick hair. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam didn't just pray with the prophets of Allah, he also saw them. In another hadith, which is in the Tirmidhi, the Prophet ﷺ said, when I was taken on the night of Isra, I met Musa. And the Prophet ﷺ described him saying, he was a man who was a thin man, whose hair was as if he was a man from Shanu'a, meaning curly hair. And he said, I met Isa, of average build. And I saw Ibrahim, and I am the one among his children that most resembles him. So the Prophet ﷺ resembled Ibrahim ﷺ a lot, meaning in physical appearance. So anyway, this was Isra. The Prophet ﷺ was, after the prayer, he was offered a drink, either choose between milk or alcohol. And what is it that the Prophet ﷺ chose? Milk. The hadith continues, the Prophet ﷺ said, then Jibreel took me to the sky, Sama'. In one narration, he took me by hand. He took me by hand and up into the sky. Now before we continue, Remember that there is one word which is sama. Samawat is the plural of that. And there is another word which is jannah. Right? Both of these words are often translated as heavens. Alright? Now when you see the word heavens, you need to know which heaven is this referring to. Alright? Because sama is different and jannah is different. Alright? Sama is what? Sky. Sama literally is kullu ma alaka fahuwa sama. That which is above you is the sama. Which is why in certain contexts, even the ceiling, alright, is described as sama. Alright? Now, how many samawat are there? Sab'a samawat. Alladhi khalaqa sab'a samawatin tibaqa. Right? One on top of the other. Tibaq is to layer one thing on top of the other, to stack it. Like, for example, you have a stack of plates. Alright? One on top of the other. Right? Just like that, there are sab'a samawat. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Are these seven layers of different types of air or space? No. We learned that sama ad-dunya, which is the lowest sky, the first sky, is which one? The one which has masabih. The one that has stars. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحِ. So the sky of this world, meaning the sky that we see, right? The maximum extent that we can go to in outer space. All right? That is what? Sama'a dunya. That is the first sky. So we're talking about the known universe. The universe that we know about. The space, you know, everything that's beyond us, this galaxy, other galaxies, all of that, this is all just sama'a dunya. This is just the first sky. All right? Because we as human beings cannot go beyond the first sky. You understand? Because in this hadith we see that Jibreel then asked the gate of that sky to be opened. Which means that you cannot cross this first sky except through that gate. And if Jibreel needs permission for that gate to be opened up, then who are we? Can we go beyond it? We cannot. Right? And then the angel over there, he asked Jibreel, who is it? He said, it is Jibreel. Who is with you? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Has he been sent for? Yes, he has been sent for. He has been called. So then the gate was opened and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Jibreel, they crossed the sky and entered the other one. So you understand that this entire universe that we are aware of, this is all part of which sky? It's all beneath the first sky. Alright? So the Prophet ﷺ, he crossed the first sky, he went above that, and he said that I saw a man who was tall, very tall. And who was it? He asked Jibreel, who is it? Jibreel said, greet him, it is your father, Adam alayhi salam. So the Prophet ﷺ exchanged greetings with him, and Adam said, marhaban bil ibn salih wa nabiy salih. Welcome, O righteous son and O righteous prophet. So we see over here that the father of mankind is most fitted to welcome the Prophet ﷺ in the skies. The Prophet ﷺ said, then we ascended to the second sky, meaning we crossed that also. In the same manner, Jibreel asked the door to be opened. He was asked who it was. He answered, Jibreel, who is with you? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has he been sent for? Yes, he has been sent for. The gate was opened, and when they crossed, who did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam find over there? Isa alayhi salam and Yahya alayhi salam. Both of them he met over there. Again, greetings were exchanged. Both the prophets welcomed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by saying, marhaban bil akhi salih wa nabi salih. Welcome, O righteous brother, and O righteous prophet. Why do you think they said righteous brother? Because all were prophets, all right, and the prophets are all brothers. But if you think about it, Adam alayhi salam said ibn, son. Why? Because Adam alayhi salam is the father of mankind, right? And also if you think about it, Isa alayhi salam, Yahya alayhi salam, they were all from the children of Okay, Ibrahim, but who? Not Ismail, Ishaq alayhi salam. All right? They were from the children of Ishaq alayhi salam, Yaqub alayhi salam. And who was the other son of Ibrahim alayhi salam? Ismail alayhi salam. And from his children came Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So you see, they were kind of cousins. They had the relationship of brotherhood. All right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not from among their children. He said, and if you think about it, Isa alayhi salam and Yahya alayhi salam, they were chronologically closest to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Right? So after Adam alayhi salam, they are the ones who welcomed him. He said, then I was taken to the third sama, and Jibreel asked for the opening of the door. Same thing happened. Who are you? It's Jibreel. Who is with you? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Has he been sent for? Yes, he has been sent for. The gate was opened and they entered. And who is it that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met over there? Yusuf alayhi salam. And it is in this hadith of Isra that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Yusuf, I met Yusuf who had been given half of beauty. Nisful husn. Right? Half of beauty he was given. Now what does it mean by he was given half of beauty? Scholars interpret this in two ways. One, they say that either the Prophet ﷺ meant that half of all beauty, meaning that is within the creation. So imagine all the beautiful creation on one side and the beauty of Yusuf ﷺ on the other side. Just imagine how handsome he must have been. And other ulama say that half of beauty, meaning half of my beauty. Meaning the Prophet ﷺ was twice as beautiful than Yusuf ﷺ. You understand? So anyway, Yusuf ﷺ also welcomed him in the same way. Welcome, O righteous brother, O righteous prophet. Now if you think about it, Yusuf ﷺ is the third one to welcome Muhammad ﷺ up in the Samawat. Right? If you think about it, Yusuf ﷺ was harmed by his own blood brothers. And what was the Prophet ﷺ facing back in Mecca? Even he was being harmed by his own blood relatives. Right? Then the Prophet ﷺ was taken to the fourth sky. Same conversation happened over there. And who did he meet over there? Idris alayhi salam. Idris alayhi salam in the Quran, he is described as وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا. And we raised him to a high place, to a high station. Meaning we exalted his status. So it's as if the Prophet ﷺ is being taught that this is a high status and look, you are also brought here and you will be taken beyond that. So it's as if the Prophet ﷺ is being given that confidence that he needed, especially after the experience of Al-Ta'if, right? That you have a high station, just as Idris had. In fact, your station, your position is even higher than that. So what happened then? The Prophet ﷺ was taken to the fifth sky. Same conversation occurred. And who is it that he met over there? Harun alayhi salam. Harun alayhi salam also welcomed him in the same way. Marhaban bil akhi salih wa nabi salih. And why Harun alayhi salam? Because Harun alayhi salam, he was opposed by his own people. People who believed in him. Bani Israel. They were at the verge of killing him. You know, in the Quran we learn that Harun alayhi salam, he stopped the Bani Israel from worshipping the calf. But then eventually he gave up because he was afraid that they would kill him. They would kill him. So he had to kind of give up. And he had to wait until Musa a.s. would return. So the Prophet ﷺ is being comforted. You know, indirectly, there is hidden messages over here. Right? That Harun was also targeted by his own people. If you are being attacked by your own people, don't worry. Allah will protect you just as Harun was protected. Then the Prophet ﷺ was taken up to the sixth sama. Same conversation happened. And who did he meet over there? Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam. And Musa alayhi salam also, amazing lesson over here because Musa alayhi salam, he had the second largest ummah after the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was harassed, he was given adha by his own people. You know, in the Quran Allah says, do not be like those who, كَالَّذِينَ آذَوْ مُوسَى. Do not be like those who harassed, who hurt Musa alayhi salam. So, in this was also consolation for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You feel like you are being harassed by your people? Musa alayhi salam was also harassed by his people. But Allah rescued him, and Allah will rescue you too. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken up to the seventh sky. Now the gate of the seventh sky is being opened for him. Same conversation takes place. And when he enters, who does he find over there? Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was reclining against the Baytul Ma'mur. Baytul Ma'mur. What is Baytul Ma'mur? The frequented house. The house that is visited frequently. We think that Kaaba is visited by many people every day. But Baytul Ma'mur is visited by even more. You know why? Because in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that there enter into it 70,000 angels every day. Every day, 70,000 angels come to visit Baytul Ma'mur. And why of course would they visit Baytul Ma'mur? To worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they enter never to visit this place again. What does it mean? That each day, 70,000 new angels come. New angels that have never visited Baytul Ma'mur before and that will never visit Baytul Ma'mur again. Why? Because their turn will never come. So just imagine every single day of existence from the beginning of creation. How many days? We don't even know how many years it has been. The number of days is countless. Every day, multiply that by 70,000. These are the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many. And they go to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day. Allah really does not need our worship. He really does not need our ibadah. So anyway, over here also, greetings were exchanged between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Marhaban bil ibn salih. He said, righteous son. Not righteous brother, but righteous son. Why? Because Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was from his descendants. Now we see that before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to the Sama, where was he? In Jerusalem. And what did he do there? He led the prophets in prayer. And then he is taken up to the skies. And as he reaches each sky, who does he find there? Prophets that are already waiting for him, as if they're waiting to welcome him up in the Sama. Then what happened? The Prophet ﷺ said, I was taken above the seventh heaven to Sidratul Muntaha. Sidratul Muntaha. What is Sidratul Muntaha? Sidra is basically a tree. Sidr. Right? It's a well-known tree. Here it's known as the hackberry tree or the honeyberry, European nettle or lote tree. Right? There's different names for it. So this tree is known for its beauty. Right? Especially in Arabia, it was known for its beauty. It was a tall, huge, wide tree. Beautiful, but also very beneficial. Because its berries are sweet and its leaves are fragrant. In many ahadith, we see reference the leaves of the lote tree, of the sidr. That, for instance, the water was infused with the leaves of the lote tree and then the bath was given. You know, for instance, to a deceased, right? So we see that the leaves of this tree are also very fragrant. So it's known for its sweet berries and its fragrant leaves. And of course, the sidr that is up above the six, seven skies, then there is no comparison between that sidr and the sidr that we see over here. Right? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, Sidratul Muntaha. And Muntaha, by the way, what does it mean? Muntaha is from Nahi. And Nahi means stop, to stop. Intiha is the maximum end of something, the height of something, the final point, the last point of something. Alright? Like for example, the last day of the month, that is its intiha. That is where the month has to end. You know, for instance, after the 31st, there will be no 32nd. 31st is the intiha. It's the maximum extent of it. It cannot go beyond it. Alright? So, Muntaha, Sidratul Muntaha, what is this? It is the tree that is at the very end. Very end, meaning very end of the creation. Very end of the creation. In a hadith, we learn that everything that is raised up from the earth stops there. What rises from the earth? In the Quran we learn, إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُ. You know, the du'as that we say, the adhkar that we say, the good deeds that we do, they're taken up, right? They're taken up. So where do they stop? At the Sidratul Muntaha. Alright? And whatever that has to be sent down to the earth originates from here also. Alright? Above this is the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sidratul Muntaha. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described the Sidratul Muntaha. He said its leaves were like elephant ears. What does it mean, elephant ears? Why is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam giving this description? Huge, round, almost flappy. Right? Huge. And its fruit were like big earthenware vessels. I mean, the berries of the lot tree are very small. Very small. But the berries or the fruit which was on the Sidratul Muntaha, how were they? Much bigger. And it was covered. In the Quran we learn, إِذْ يَغْشَ السِّدْرَةَ مَا يَغْشَى. When it covered the Sidra, that which covered. Meaning what covered the Sidra, it cannot be described in words. The Prophet ﷺ said there were colors, such colors that he could not explain. So, that are beyond the spectrum that we are familiar with. Right? Colors from beyond this world. Beauty that is from beyond this world. And it constantly changed. Meaning it wasn't just still. It was as if the colors were changing. In some hadith we see, some of the scholars, the tabi'un, they said it was gold. Locusts of gold or butterflies of gold. And it was changing. The Prophet ﷺ said it underwent such a change that none amongst the creation has the power to praise its beauty. So it wasn't just a still, boring tree. It was a tree that was huge, magnificent in its beauty, and its colors were as if constantly changing. And then what happened? From here, the Prophet ﷺ was taken for the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was taken to a level where no human has ever been. Because we find from narrations that even Jibreel did not go beyond this point. Right? And he was taken above the level of Adam, above the level of Yusuf, above the level of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Right? Even above the level of Jibreel. He was taken where no human has ever been. No human has ever been. Above all people. As if he was being taught his worth, his value near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you see, being rejected by people is something very difficult. Very painful. All of a sudden you feel like you have no self-worth even. You feel like you have no value. At all. Especially when people have pelted you with stones. They've chased you out of somewhere. It can shatter your confidence. But the Prophet ﷺ, when he's taken up into the skies, and not just beyond the first sky, but beyond the seven skies, beyond where even Jibreel could go, what did that teach him? His worth, his value near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That your honor does not depend on how people treat you. It does not depend on whether or not they offer you protection. They receive you well. No, you are honorable near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you wonder how much confidence this journey must have given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in the Quran we learn here, فَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَى. That over here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given wahi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You see, Musa alaihi wasallam, كَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Right? And that was on a mountain. There was miqat with Musa alaihi wasallam. The Prophet ﷺ is called for an appointment, not to a mountain, but where? Above the seven skies. And there Allah spoke to him. Now what exactly happened? Allahu A'lam. Right? Allahu A'lam, what exactly happened over there? What exact conversation took place? There was no witness. You know, Jibreel wasn't there. And there was no companion of the Prophet ﷺ over there. Right? And the Prophet ﷺ himself did not describe what happened. Now there is this famous story about, you know, of at-tahiyyat, the words of the tashahhud. That the Prophet ﷺ, when he went there, he praised and glorified Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawat wa tayyibat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded, As-salamu alayka ayyuha nabi. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to expand that greeting, and he said, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. I mean, it's a story, and it has no basis. No basis whatsoever. In fact, it is completely fabricated. Right? So, what exact conversation took place there? We don't know. But we see that later on, at one occasion, the Prophet ﷺ was asked if he had seen Allah. And he said, Nurun, anna urahu. How can I see him? He is Nur, how can I see him? So the Prophet ﷺ, in reality, he did not see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there. But he spoke to Allah. Just as Musa ﷺ spoke to Allah. The Prophet ﷺ also spoke to Allah. And here it is that the command for salah was given. Initially, how many prayers were made obligatory? 50 prayers. The Prophet ﷺ, the humble servant of Allah, he accepted that command and descended down with it. When he reached Musa ﷺ, Musa ﷺ asked him what happened. Right? And then he said, no, 50 is too much. Go back and ask for a concession. So the Prophet ﷺ went back for a concession. He got it. He came back. Musa said, no, further concession, further concession, further concession. Until the Prophet ﷺ went back at least 5 times, at least. And then what happened? He came with 5 prayers. Musa alayhi salam said, go back for a further concession. He said, I feel shy. I feel shy. And what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announced that whoever performs these 5 prayers, he will be rewarded for 50. But what does this show to us? That the fact that 50 prayers were obligated first, what does that mean? It's as if the purpose of our existence, of our day and night is what? Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is a fact. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We see that after this command of salah, the Prophet ﷺ, he began his descent, he was taken down. He also saw Jibreel in his original form. In a hadith which is in Musnad Ahmad, we learn that the Messenger of Allah ﷺ saw Jibreel in his true form near Sidratul Muntaha when he had 600 wings and there were multicolored pearls and rubies falling from his wings. In another hadith, Jibreel was wearing a hulla, meaning an outer garment of rafraf, fine silk, filling the entire space between the sky and the earth. His feet were like pearls, like raindrops on a green leaf or something like that. So just imagine, water drops on a leaf. How beautiful they look. How fine they look. The Prophet ﷺ said, on the night on which I was taken on the night journey, I passed by the hosts on high, meaning the angels, and Jibreel was like a worn mat from his fear of Allah. Meaning as they drew closer to the arsh, what happened? Jibreel, he looked like a worn mat, like an old worn mat, flattened, lifeless, out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ was also shown the river of Kawthar. He was also shown Jannah. He was also shown Jahannam. He was shown people who were being punished. For example, in a hadith in Musnad Ahmad, we learned the Prophet ﷺ said, the night when I was taken for the journey, I passed by a group of people whose lips were being cut by scissors of fire. I asked, who are they? I was told, they are khutaba. Khutaba, plural of khatib. Who is khatib? The one who lectures, the one who addresses people. From among the people of the world who would order people to do good, but forget themselves. Forget themselves. They were being punished so severely. May Allah protect us from that. In another hadith we learn, when the Prophet ﷺ was taken for a view in Jannah, he said that I heard from one side the sound of footsteps. And I asked, who is this? What is this? And he was told, هذا البلال المؤذن. This is Bilal, the muaddin, the one who gives adhan. He smelled a beautiful fragrance. He asked, what is this fragrance? He was told, this is the fragrance of the mashita of Fir'aun's daughter. Meaning the woman who used to comb the hair of Fir'aun's daughter. Because when she believed Fir'aun, he threatened to punish her. She still did not renounce her belief. And Fir'aun, he threw all of her children one by one into the fire and burnt them before her very eyes. And when her baby, the youngest of them, was about to be thrown, she hesitated. And that baby spoke and said, "Oh, my mother, do not hesitate. The punishment of the hereafter is much worse." So she went ahead. And the Prophet ﷺ smelled the beautiful fragrance of this noble family in Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ was also shown different nations of the Prophets. Different nations. Some communities, some umam were small, very few people, and some were huge. When he came across a huge gathering, you know, when he saw that, he asked, "Who are these?" He was told, "This is the people of Musa a.s." But then there was a large multitude that covered the horizon from one side to the other, and he was told, "These are your people, this is your ummah." The Prophet ﷺ returned back to Jerusalem, and he returned with certain gifts. What were those gifts? In a hadith in Muslim, we learn the Prophet ﷺ was given three things on the night of Isra. He was given the five prayers. He was given the concluding verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. And he was also given the good news that anyone from his ummah who does not associate partners with Allah, then his sins will be forgiven, meaning eventually he will be sent to Jannah. Now what do we see over here? The Prophet ﷺ is given one command, a portion of the Qur'an, and a promise. These were the three gifts he was given at Mi'raj. If you think about it, each command, it was sent down. But the command of Salah, the Prophet ﷺ was called up to the sky in order to receive that command. Each wahi, Jibreel brought it down. You know, anzala, tanzeel, what does it mean? To come down, to bring down, to send down. The wahi came down from above, always. But when it comes to the last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, the Prophet ﷺ was called up to receive them. Up to receive them. What does this show to us about the importance of Salah and the importance of the last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah? They are very important, right? They are very significant. And the last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, we also learn from other ahadith that they were sent down also. Right? From a treasure trove beneath the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyway, the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was called up and on another occasion the verses were sent down, it shows the importance of these ayat. And this is why in hadith we learned that whoever recites them in the night, then kafatahu. These ayat will suffice him. They will be sufficient for him. Sufficient for him in what way? First of all, that they will be sufficient to protect him from any danger in that night. And secondly, they will suffice him for ibadah of that night. Meaning if a person is not able to get up in that night and perform tahajjud, still reward will be written for him. Why? Because of his recitation of these two ayat. So if you have not developed the habit of reading these ayat at night, start now inshallah. Because this is a reward that we don't want to miss out on. Anyway, the Prophet ﷺ returned with this gift, and he also returned with certain messages that Ibrahim ﷺ sent and the angels also sent. Would you like to know what messages those are? Because they were for the ummah, and we are also part of the ummah. The Prophet ﷺ said, "I met Ibrahim on the night journey, and he said, 'O Muhammad ﷺ, say my salams to your ummah.'" So Ibrahim ﷺ sent his salams to who? To the ummah of Muhammad ﷺ. He didn't say your sahaba, he said ummatak, your ummah. We are also his ummah. "And tell them that Jannah has good, fertile soil and sweet water, but it is flat." It is flat, meaning it's empty. So what does it mean? If the soil is perfect, the water is perfect, but it's flat, what does it mean? You need to work on it, right? And he said, its plantations are Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, and Allahu Akbar. These are four kalimat that will fill your Jannah, that will make Jannah full and green. And this is a message that Ibrahim alayhi salam sent for us. What about the angel's advice? We learn in a hadith in a silsilatu sahiha that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "On the night of Isra, whichever group of angels I passed by, they said to me, 'Alayka bil hijamati ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam,' that you must do hijama." What is hijama? Cupping. Cupping. In another hadith, which is in Ibn Majah, the angel said, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mur ummatak bil hijama. Tell your ummah to do hijama. Cupping. What is cupping? It's a kind of treatment, right? Which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practiced and the angels recommended. Okay? Angels recommended this treatment. So next time you have a serious issue, and even before you have a serious issue, try cupping. It's good for you. Angels recommended it. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned to Jerusalem, he was taken on the Buraq again from Jerusalem back to Mecca. When he returned to Mecca, to his home, his bed was still warm. What does that mean? He was not away for very long. So this entire journey must have taken place in how many earth minutes? Perhaps less than 10 earth minutes. All right? Now again, remember, we cannot understand how exactly, because this was part of Ghaib. He was taken into the realm of Al-Ghaib. When he returned, he went back to sleep. And the next morning when he woke up, he informed the people about it. And when he did, he was mocked at. And they interrogated him to prove it. They asked him, prove it. Tell us what you saw. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, when the Quraysh rejected me, I stood in the Hijr. And Allah displayed Baytul Maqdis before my eyes. So I informed them of its features as if I was looking at it. Because when they began questioning him, he was nervous. In a hadith we learned, the Prophet ﷺ said, I was very much anxious. So anxious that I had never been like that before. Because imagine if somebody begins to question you one after the other and they're laughing at you. And whatever he did remember, even he could not fully recall of Baytul Maqdis. And besides, it was nighttime. Right? So what happened? Allah showed him Baytul Maqdis before his eyes. So the Prophet ﷺ gave them a description and they were speechless. They were silent. But they made fun of the Prophet ﷺ and they thought perhaps his closest friends would abandon him now. So they went to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and they said, this is what your friend is saying. He said, if Muhammad ﷺ has said it, I believe in it. He said, what? You will believe in it? Even though he's saying something like that, he said, yes, I believe in something that is even more amazing. He claims that the revelation from the seven heavens come to him instantaneously. So if I can believe in that, I can also believe that he went to Isra and back and Mi'raj and back in one night. And this is when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was given the title of As-Siddiq. Now the following morning, the same morning, what happened? Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he led the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in five prayers. At their right time. And this is reported in Bukhari. Because the hukm of salah came, right? So the following morning, Jibreel came and told the Prophet ﷺ, when to pray Fajr? How much? How? When to pray Zuhr? How many rak'at? When to pray Asr? How many rak'at? When to pray Maghrib? How many rak'at? When to pray Isha? And how many rak'at? So Jibreel came and he prayed with the Prophet ﷺ to teach him how to follow the command of Allah. How to perform the prayer. And this incident, this was a gift for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a miracle. But it was also a journey that gave him spiritual, emotional upliftment, gave him the confidence that he needed. And this is what we see, that from after this journey, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he continued the da'wah with full, force, with this renewed confidence. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never abandons His servant. There are the deepest, the lowest points. But the one who relies upon Allah, then Allah takes care of his affairs. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.